Right? Let's turn now to 2 Peter, and we will be finishing the message on the characteristics on false teachers. So we'll be looking at verse 20 of chapter 2 onwards to chapter 5 of verse 5 of chapter 3. Okay. Now, just to recap a little, the three main characteristics that we have looked at in the previous message is that these people, these who are false teachers, they will teach the wrong things. But you find that in their lives that you will be, you'll be able to discern that they are living according to their lust, their sinful nature. They are led by their sinful nature. And they are not led by the Spirit of God. And that, now not only do they live sinfully, but they are actively influencing others into sin. So this is the reason why we as the children of God, we need to be on guard. Not only we are concerned that the name of Christ will be brought through the mud, but that we are concerned for our own, our personal development and walk with Christ. And if we were to fail God, well, just imagine the kind of consequences, you know, that will result from your sinning or from your falling prey to such false teachers. So it's important for us to bear this in mind, and just bear with me as I go through the last two characteristics. The fourth characteristics of the false teachers is that they would have deep knowledge of Christianity, yet they will distort the message of salvation in particular. So this is something that we mustn't forget. The false teachers, you do not easily discern at first sight. You need to carefully observe them, listen to their teachings, you observe their lives, and you, by God's grace, you will be able to tell the difference. And so you look at verse 20, these false teachers, that they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this is something that we need to be careful about. And there are some school of thoughts, they would use this to teach that people can be saved and yet fall away again. They can be saved and they lose their salvation. But I do not want to go in the argument with this. But I want to point out to your attention that salvation is not through knowledge. Salvation is through faith in Christ alone. That is how God works in our lives. So a person may have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet not have that faith to turn to Him. In fact, it is commonly true that quite a lot of people, they are aware of Jesus. Not only aware, some of them even have been through Sunday schools and through churches. And yet, in spite of the fact that they have this knowledge of Christ and His salvation, they do not have the corresponding faith to lay hold of Christ to be a personal Lord and Savior and to turn away from their sin. For a season, it may seem that they have escaped the pollution of the world. But, as you can see later on in verse 22, they return to their sin. Like the dog to the vomit and the sow to the wallowing in the mire again. So, it is obvious that these false teachers, though they have deep knowledge of Christianity, don't even have understanding of what the Bible teaches, but you find they themselves do not subscribe to all the teachings. And soon enough, you discover that their teaching will veer away and they would lead you astray, just as they themselves living in under a lie and in hypocrisy. So note that these characteristics, they have this. They may give a semblance of Christianity, but nonetheless, it is only just a front. Now, the next characteristic can be found in chapter 3, from verses 1 to 5. And here, you'll find that these false teachers, one characteristic will be that they will scoff at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be interesting, isn't it? Why they will scoff at it? Well, for one reason, that these people will not be very open to such a teaching, because the second coming of Christ would mean the judgment of Christ. You know, Christ first came into this world as man's representative to represent man so that salvation can be accomplished through his vicarious atonement. But when he would come again, he would come as a judge. And that is something which is not very palatable to people who are living in sin. Now, this is that we need to bear in mind, that we are awaiting a Savior that would come to judge us again. Now, not that I want to frighten you, nor to put you in the terrible condition with anxiety, awaiting for the coming day, but rather that the coming for us, you find that God will judge us in terms of work, in terms of giving us rewards. Okay, and as far as our relationship with Him is concerned, it is settled. If you have truly trusted in Him for your salvation. So for these people, they will scoff at the second coming because they actually do not delight in the return of Christ. Now, you find that these, Peter wrote to encourage the believers to do something, and that is to be reminded of the words of God in verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets. In other words, the prophecy as inspired by God, to be spoken by the prophets with regards to days, to the coming, the day of Christ that is coming. And that is, the prophecy of God is always sure, because it is God's revelation of His plan, what He's going to do in the days ahead. And for believers to be able to discern the false teachers, who are those who are false teachers, and that is that they need to be aware of what the Bible's teaching about prophecy are, and that once you familiarize yourself with all these things, then you'll be able to tell the difference. And that not only that, the commandments of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find that the apostles in their writings would have ample teaching and instruction to this regard. So, now these people, because of their attitude towards the Lord, as you have recalled, one of their characteristics is that they would deny spiritual authority. And thus, they would also not like to acknowledge that Christ will judge them. And thus, they would scoff. And one of their what you call the comfort that they would hold is this, and is found in verse 4, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So here, they would use the so-called historical evidence. You know, in fact, I was just talking to one young man this afternoon about history, and how you look at different things that happen in history. And so here you have these false teachers looking at history and then placing their own interpretation upon history. And their interpretation is this, that ever since creation, things have been happening in a uniform way, you know, consistently the same. And since creation up to now, nothing has changed. And so, they actually put themselves in a delusion. Now, because they continue, they scoff and they walk after their own lust, as verse 3 says. And to be able to walk in that condition, they need to deny certain realities. And that is the coming of Christ, they will deny. And that is something which we need to take note. Now, you find that they are very good at doing this. They are very selective in their Bible teaching. They would accept certain things, they will discard others. And so here you see that in their interpretive history, they say that things happen as the fathers had died. You know, you find that this is a consistent testimony of scriptures, that this so-and-so died, so-and-so died, so-and-so died. So the forefathers had died. But they deny other scriptures. And there's one particular incident in the Word of God which is very famous for all of us, especially the young children, would be Noah and the flood. You find that if they have accepted the revelation of God, they would realize that, well, you know, history is not that uniform, after all. Because in the history of mankind, it happened under God's judgment that a universal flood came about. And it was not just a mild rising of water, but that tremendous upheaval upon the earth happened. So much so that the whole earth and all the living things, except for the family of Noah and the animals that God has instructed Noah to bring into the ark, all other living things were destroyed. Now that, you find that they would choose to ignore. And you find this happening now, in our present days. You have people denying the flood. Okay, they would do their best to say that it is only a local flood, or maybe this, you know, it is not so serious as the Bible has portrayed it to be. And that this is something that you need to be aware of. Okay, and they will scoff at the second coming. Now, you find that, as I said, they do this because they really do not want to face this matter of Christ coming and His judgment. But by denying the flood, they are also denying judgment, because God actually judged the whole world. This is why the flood was sent. So let us not forget. So these again are about God's instruction through man's history, that sin is a serious matter and that judgment will surely come. Okay? What is the other judgment or reminder of judgment that we constantly face? That is death, isn't it? Death that no one will ever escape. So we are reminded of this. And as we look at this, we are grateful that God in His mercy has sent forth His salvation and worked in our lives to grant us salvation. So these are the characteristics of false teachers. And it is my desire that you be aware of all these things, that you do not become passive in your Christian walk, that not only you receive all these blessings, forgiveness from Christ, but that you be consistent in letting what God has already accomplished to blossom or to increase in you. And as you do this, you find that it will have its attendant benefits. That as you grow, and as Peter has mentioned earlier on in his letter, that the like precious faith that they have received, the promises of like precious faith that they receive, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of salvation, which you can find in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And the attendant benefit is that grace and peace will be multiplied, and that you will be given all the sufficient grace and blessings to grow in your life. And as you do this, and as you increase your knowledge, it will also help you in your ability to discern evil to discern right from wrong, to discern false prophets from those who are true servants of Christ. So here, again, it is our Christian responsibilities. And it is my prayer that we will understand all these. And instead of lamenting the state of affairs in the church, but will be faithful contenders. They would be faithful in not only in our ability to share with others God's truth, but faithful in living our lives. Because we realize that it is with this faithful, diligent living that will show forth God's holiness, they will put us in good stead. And that you would enjoy daily, in an increasing way, God's peace and grace. So with that note, I'd like to end today's message on the characteristics of false teachers. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for thy great grace in our life.